Galatians chapter 2, and I'm reading now the New King James. If you don't have that version, that's okay, but you can follow with us up on the screen so we can study this word to word together. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get a Bible. We study out of the New King James. There's a lot of good versions. But if you can't afford a Bible, just go over to the information table, and we will give you a Bible for free. And we're glad to do that. I want to talk to you tonight about connecting. Everybody say connecting. Christ has asked us to do some phenomenal things. How many ever tried to do something? Maybe you made some New Year's resolutions, or maybe you said, "I'm gonna go on a diet," or whatever you resolved to do, and you had a hard time doing that. Well, there are some things that Christ has asked us to do, and I just want to teach you tonight, give you some practical ways on how we can do that. And because the truth is, the Bible says just radical stuff, but there are promises to us. Well, here's what the Bible says: you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So For Christ to tell us we can do all things, man, that's a big, you know what I mean? And listen to me. And here, you know, how many of you married? Raise your hand if you're married. Okay. How do I say this? Okay. thank you, brother. Yeah. God help me right now. Okay. So, but watch this. How many know marriage is tough? Some of you men are like, I don't even know if I should say what you say, you know what I mean? Well, I'm just telling you, you know, no, it is tough. And but you're called to love your wife, and you're called to love your husband, and you're called to, you know what? How many know parenting can be tough? You talk about tough. And here's a thing. I don't know. This is free. You know what I mean? This is free. You can get this just free. You know what? Like the prize in the cereal. You know what I mean? You just bought the cereal, but you got the prize. Okay, so you're getting the free added bonus tonight. But here's the deal. You know what? Parents, listen to me. You need to be loving, but you need to be tough. And we live in a day and age that nobody's really teaching how to be a good parent. And so we're learning parenting wrong, to just like, oh, be, you know, just be your kid's buddy. You know what I mean? Just be their friend. Well, you know, you're going to be their friend. You're going to be in trouble. Amen. Because here's what they need. They need your leadership. They need your guidance. They need your, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. They need your discipline. You know, parents who smoke weed with their kids. That don't happen. Hello, wake up. Those kids wish their parents who let their kids stay out late. I mean, late like 11, 12, 1. You know what? Parents who, you know what, all kinds of things. Those kids, you know what they wish? They wish their parents would be more strict. See, kids are kids are funny. Yeah, they are. Hello, somebody. Yeah. Kids are funny because, let me tell you about kids. They'll push you. Can I teach you some things? Can I tell you why they're pushing you? They're pushing you because they want you to tell them no. Here's why. Because they want to feel secure. And I'm just asking. How many ever gone on, gone to Magic Mountain or Knott's Berry Farm or, you know, gone on one of those crazy roller coasters? And you know the guy that comes by and checks your harness? You know what I mean? You know that guy? And then he gives him a thumbs up. Okay, this ready. You know what? What if he missed your harness? Here's what you wouldn't say. You wouldn't say, oh, I'm good. Go ahead anyway. You know why? Because you want that harness. You want that protection. Okay? That's what your kids want too. Listen to me. And you're this all free. Not even in my notes. All free. Listen. And they want that always. So those of you who have teenagers, they're 14, 15, 18, 19. Yeah, but 19. No, Pastor, not 19. Because at 19, they can do whatever they want. And I'm just asking you, who told you that? Oh, they did. Well, see, yeah, Hollywood, right. They did. And see, you know what? If you want that to be the guidance in your home, then that is the guidance in your home. But if you want to say, wait a minute. I don't run this home according to man's laws. I run this home according to God's law. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I there was it here. Yeah, here it is. Parents obey, kids obey your parents until you're 18. And then do whatever you want. Oh, I missed it. Can I tell you what? That's not there, amen. Here's what I'm saying. If they're living at home with you, maybe they're 19, maybe they're 20, maybe they're 21. You know what I mean? Maybe they're whatever. You know what? You still need to have a godly household. That's right. Oh, this is good. And see, but I said all that to say this. I'm not saying that that's easy. I'm saying that that's critical. And what I'm going to show you tonight is how to live a Christian life in a way that you're doing things that seem difficult, but you're doing them anyway. See, how many know there's things that are important to do, and they're important to do because they're important to do? And some of those things might be very difficult. See, we've gotten in a place in society where if it's hard, we just go, oh, I ain't doing it. That's hard. Okay, it might be hard, but we still need to do what's right. Is that not right? But I want to give you some practical tools in order to do that, those things that are difficult. And I want to show you some things in the Word. So you guys ready to go? Okay, you got your harness on? All right, yeah, exactly, buckle up, okay? Galatians chapter 20, that's false doctrine, okay, I'm sorry. Galatians chapter 2, there is no 20, that's why I said that. If somebody says turn to Galatians 20, run, okay? Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Look what Paul says, and I'll read 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for it is righteousness comes through the law, for if the righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Now, he says a lot of things there, and I'm going to unpack it. But first, I just want to give you a little history of what's going on. There's not a church of Galatia. There was a bunch of churches in Galatia. And they were taught the word of God. They received it. We're saved by grace through faith, the Bible says. It's not of your own works. You simply accept the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from all your unrighteousness and then start to become a follower of Christ. That's what was taught. And that is a great thing, and that's the truth. But back then, they had all this tradition of the Jewish religion, which the Jewish religion, God said, here, I'll give you these laws, and you are to live your life by these laws. Everybody say laws. You say, well, why did God do that? Watch this. You got to connect the dots here. Everybody follow me. He did it not because it worked. He did it that they could figure out this doesn't work. He did it that the law could show them that they needed help. Does that make sense? And so, but here's what happened. But they got focused on the wrong thing. How many sometimes you can get focused on the wrong thing? And because they were focused on, well, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this, I got to do that, they forgot the purpose of the law, and the purpose of the law was to show them that they needed Christ. I'm going to say that again. The purpose of the law was to show them that they needed Christ. That was the whole purpose. But that was their tradition. So Paul preaches the gospel to these churches. All these people get saved. All these people accept Jesus Christ. And then just a little later on, they start thinking, yeah, but I got to do this, and I got to do that, and I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And Paul reminds them and says, wait a minute. You forgot what was most important. See, Christianity is not about a bunch of laws of what you are supposed to do and what you're supposed to not do. That's not what Christianity is about. Christianity is about you connecting with Jesus Christ. And when you connect with Jesus Christ, there's this freedom that comes for you to have victory. Listen to me. Over areas in your life that you used to have a hard time doing. Are we together? Yeah. Let me say it another way. So, through your relationship with Christ, see, here, let me give you two examples. How am I going to get free from whatever is a bondage in my life? How am I going to get free? Here's how many, even Christians, try to get free. I'm not going to do that anymore. Okay. And you know what? Okay. But that's not the way that you're going to get free. Here's how you're going to get free. Are you following? Good morning, Christ. I'm up early before anybody's up because I want to hang out with you a little bit before I get my day going. And I got some things I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about my three kids. I got three kids. I want to talk to you about my three kids. and I want to talk to you about this Sozo event that's coming up. I'm acting like it was 3 days ago. And I want to talk to you about, and so what am I doing? I'm just having a relationship with Christ. I'm just sharing him some things that are concerning my heart. And it's through that relationship that these things that concern me are going to fall away. And here's the deal. In the churches of Galatia, that's how they start off. But because they had such a history of how it was. How many know there's some things the way you used to do it, and your batting coach can tell you, no, don't do it like that, do it like this, and you can do it that 3 times, but then over a period of time, you can quickly revert back to the old way of doing it. And that's what was happening here. And Paul writes in the first chapter, he's like, man, what's with you guys? Why did you guys so soon revert back to this old way that doesn't work? Okay? So that is the history of what's going on here. And in the second chapter, Paul writes in verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. And I've taught you this many times before, but we see it again in the text, so I'm going to talk about it. How are you going to get victorious over situations in your life? Here's how you're going to do it. You're going to die. You're going to be crucified. Look what it says. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. So all those associations, whatever you used to do, you used to be like that, you used to be like this. I know people all the time, and they'll talk about, I just have such a bad memory. I have such a bad memory. I just can't remember names. I can't just, whatever they're saying. I can't ever lose weight. I can't, all this stuff. And I love you guys. Love you. I love you. Okay. I just want to get duct tape out and just go, wait a minute. I did say I loved you, right? And here's why. Because I recognize that's so harmful. Here, you died. And I'm not saying that you didn't have situations that were tough, that were difficult, that were challenging. Here's all I'm saying is, if you're dead, then that's what Paul says. You know what? All that, I died with Christ. But watch this. Look what he says next. But I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Christ who lives in me. 3 things that are going to help you. Number one, you have to live through Christ. Many of us don't live through Christ, even though we come to church, even though we proclaim we're Christians. We live through the perspective of that's who I am. And who you are is through the perspective of who you've been. Right? You know what you think? And how many remember when you were in junior high? Raise your hand if you remember in junior high, okay? raise your hand if you remember when you were in high school, okay? Raise your hand if you remember, when you were in your early 20s, okay? Okay. So you remember all those things and you're like, oh, this is who I am. No. No. Your life now, you need to live through Christ. How many have found that living a sanctified life, living a holy life, can be challenging? Okay. But here's what I'm saying. If you will live through Christ, then you get up in the morning and say, you know what? Hey. Here, let me ask you this. How many know Christ? This is a biggie. How many know Christ was victorious over sin? Okay, so watch this. So if you're living through Christ, okay. Well, Pastor, what does that mean? It means you're just saying, God, I ain't doing it today. If you come, well, can I show you some passages? Okay. Look at, guys in the back, you need to flow with me here. Turn to John chapter 5. And I'm going to show you a couple of passages that are, it's like, wow. John chapter 5, look at verse number 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, just I'm seeing you for listening, who's talking? Come on, everybody. Let me try it again. Then Jesus answered and said to them, who's going to talk right now?
Jesus.
Okay, Jesus, most assuredly. Okay, can I tell you what most assuredly means? It means, and I've taught you this before, when Christ says most assuredly, here's what he's saying. I'm about to tell you something that's going to be hard for you to believe. But I want to tell you before I start, this is the absolute truth. Okay. That's what most assuredly means. And every time you see most assuredly in the New King James, I think the King James, he'll say verily, or verily, verily, I say unto you. He's about to say something that is hard to believe. But if Jesus said it, and before he says it, he says, I'm telling you the truth. Most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing by himself. See, even Christ is saying, guys, I can't do it by myself. Yeah, but he was God. Yeah, he was God, but he emptied himself of all heavenly privileges, and now he's functioning just like you are functioning, you know what, filled with the Spirit. Remember, he went and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. Or maybe before he did that, he got baptized. He got baptized, you know what, by water. And the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Okay. And then he left there. The Bible says, watch this. He left there led by the Spirit. Yeah, but he was able to do that because he was God. No, guys. He wasn't able to do that because he was God. He was able to do the things he did. Here's why. Because he recognized that he needed to be dependent upon God. Oh, this is so good. So here's what I'm saying for us. You know what, Pastor? You know what? The Christian life is paradoxical. What does that mean? The Bible says stuff like this. The first, you know, oh, be first. You know what I mean? No. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Jesus said, if you want to be the greatest, watch, see the world, then get a whole bunch of people to serve you. You know what I mean? No. Paradoxical. No. Then serve other people. Because the greatest servant will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. So watch this. So it's paradoxical. So Jesus says this. He says, let me tell you what. By myself, that's the key. By myself, I can do nothing. Remember the illustration? You know, there are two ways that we're going to be victorious or try to be victorious. You know, I tell you, I'm serious this time. Watch it. I'm telling you, I'm not. Listen, 10 minutes later. 10 minutes? No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Okay, well, here's the problem. You know what? Listen, I love you guys. I'm serious. It ain't going to work. Here's why. Because you're relying on your own power. And Jesus says, here, I'll show it to you again. Okay. Look at verse 30. Jesus says, look, I can. Do you see it? See, Jesus doesn't say, I can do nothing. Jesus doesn't say, I can do nothing. Here's what he says. How many know he picks his words real carefully? Okay, look what he says. I can of myself. Do you guys got this in the back? Yeah. What, do you see the difference? I can what? Everybody said, I can what? Of myself. Just didn't say I can't do anything. He said, I can of myself do nothing. And my humble opinion is just to say this to you tonight. We, of ourselves, are going to be in that same boat. Amen. Can I show you something else? John chapter 15. Flip on over there, John chapter 15. Guys in the back, flow with me. John chapter 15. And look at verse number 4. Look what he says here. See, abide, this is Jesus talking, abide in me and I in you. Nice up. What's abiding? Here's what abiding is. You get up tomorrow morning earlier than you got up last week and you hang out with God. Get a cup of tea, okay? I like sweet tea with peppermint. Amen. Praise God. I got it right here. It's so good. Or get some coffee, get whatever you want. You know what? Make sure the dogs are outside. Make sure your phone's turned off. And just say, hey, God, good morning. And I got some things I want to talk to you about. Oh, man. That is cool. And that will change the quality of your life. And then you start saying what I said. You know, God, I got this big event. Hey, look, we can buy, burritos. We could buy burritos and tacos and, you know what, and chimichangas. And what are those things? They're churros. See, you knew exactly what. We could even buy churros. You know what I mean? But how many know? Listen, those kids don't need a burrito and churros, okay? We need to get these kids in here, and then we need to tell them, hey, Jesus Christ loves you. And he's got a plan, and God has a plan for your life. We need the Holy Spirit to show up like he showed up today. That those kids, you know what? And maybe they're there just to get a burrito. But now they're listening to every single word. And they think they're there for a burrito. But they ain't there for a burrito. They're there to have their life changed. And listen, and we need to connect with God and say, hey, God, watch this. We need your, as a church, we need your help in this adventure. Not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. See, we don't need a good speaker. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing me? And listen, and that's what you need. You don't need to figure out some kind of plan on how you can keep your job with a boss that is, you know what, emotionally crazy. You're like, Pastor, how did you know? I know. You know what? I worked a secular job for 25 years. I could tell you more stories about insecure bosses than we got time for. But here's the deal. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to minister to these people. And so Christ says, abide in me. I just taught you what abide means. It just means hang out with God. Abide in me and I in you as the branch cannot. As you, oh, I'm sorry. What?
Yeah, go back. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of what?
Itself.
Of what?
Itself.
See, do you see the correlation? Oh, Jesus did that because he was the Son of God. He emptied himself. Do you see the correlation? By yourself, Jesus said the same words. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless, does it say, see, thank God for the unless. See, these Christians, I didn't say you couldn't do anything. I said you can't do anything by yourself.
Amen.
And the Bible doesn't teach that you can't. I'm just humble. I can't do anything. Shh, you're silly. I use that word, Richard, on purpose. Okay. No, guys, that's crazy talk. Don't talk that way. And I'm not talking that way. I'm saying, and please thread this needle, because there's a big difference in saying, you know what, you can't ever do anything, and me saying, you can't do anything by yourself. All I'm saying is what Jesus Christ said, and that is the truth. But look what he says, because he doesn't stop unless. Oh, say, thank God for the unless. Come on, somebody say, thank God for the unless. See, this is important. Unless it abides in the vine. What does abide mean? Did I show you?
Bible.
God, good morning. I need some help this morning. I don't want to do this job alone. I can't do. You know what? This husband thing alone. I don't know how to do the father thing alone. I'm like, God, I really need some help. So I'm coming to you today, this day, setting some time apart, asking you for your help. That's abiding in him. Watch this. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide. Neither can you unless you abide in me. Next verse. I am the vine. You are the branches. I am the vine. You are the branches. You ever see just like a branch? You know, like you go outside, you see this branch just hanging there? Yeah. You never seen a branch just hanging there. Listen, you never saw branches hanging there. What you see is you see a branch, you know what, and it's connected to a tree trunk. You know, like in our house, we got fruit trees, man, and those branches are full of fruit. But if I chop if I sever that branch from the base, you know what, it's only a small matter of time. That branch will never, everybody say never,
never,
never produce another piece of fruit ever. And that's us. So Paul says, let me tell you why. How many know, can we be honest, how many know Paul's life was different than maybe many, many, many Christians that living back in that time? And I'm not saying like different, like he has a different calling. I'm just saying Paul was productive. How many know we're called to be productive? But we cannot be productive unless we abide in him. Amen. Are you learning something today? Number one, you have to live through Christ. Number two, you have to live by faith. Everybody say by faith. All right, let's talk about this again. Okay, God, good morning. I need some help. You know what? Me and my wife, we got in a big fight the other day. And I was like, whoa, where are you coming from? Hello. And my kids, oh, God help me with my kids. And my job and whatever that concerns you. But listen, but if you're abiding in Christ, see, here's what the Bible says. You have not because you ask. Can I teach you what the Bible says? The Bible says that there's this deal that happens that you ask, and remember we talked about the power of expectancy? But there's this deal, and you ask for something. Remember the guy and his son was just totally freaking out, and he says this, God, I believe. Jesus, God, I believe. And then he says right after that, he says, God, help my unbelief. Remember that? So here's what I'm saying. We can ask God, but the Bible says if we ask God and don't even expect, can we park it here for a bit? I know we don't have a lot of time, but we need to talk about this. Because this is really important. We need to put our trust in Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, Pastor, I'm going to get up in the morning. I'm going to pray. God, help me, help me, help me. And then I'm going to think, oh, man, this is helpless. Wait a minute. Wait, what did? No. Paul says, you know what? Here's how I'm victorious. I'm victorious because I live through Christ, but then I have faith in Christ. See, I love singing songs like we sang today. You know what I mean? You know, how great is our God? Because we have to be reminded, we're not helpless. Here's what the Bible says. We haven't been left here like orphans. Guys, we're not helpless. We have the, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that, and it's one of the reasons why I encourage you. Let me tell you what, and I know I'm patting ourselves on the back, but you need to know this. You know what? This is a two spy club church. What does that mean? It means we're not part of. Listen, all 12 of those spies that were sent out. Do you know what they? You know what they were? They were all leaders. Moses picked all these leaders, and only two of them came back and said, "Man, God, yes, yes, yes." The yes, they are big, you know what, like an 80s term, they were big honking people, man. I don't know what that means, but that's meant, man, in the 80s it meant big, you know what? So they were big old people that, yes, but, you know what, we can do this. You know what Caleb and Joshua said? He said, you know what, they are our bread. In other words, we're going to eat them up. You know what I mean? We got this. Listen, the other 10 spies said, let me tell you what, the fruit looked big. It was big. But let me tell you what. But those guys are so big. And compared to them, we're just like grasshoppers, man. They're just going to smash us. You know what I mean? Remember Gideon? God was like, no. I want to prove something to you. You know what? I don't want it to say, and it was about when it started, it was, I forget exactly, it was something like 2,400 versus 38, or 24,000 versus 35,000. That's what it was. Well, how many know, even then, you got an uphill climb. But God was like, no, because here's what's going to happen. You're gonna whip them, and then when you whip them, you know what I mean? You're gonna be like, everybody was kung fu fighting. Boop, 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 boop. That's what you're going to be doing. You're going to be saying, man, now let me tell you, I was a bad dude out there. I told you I was old school. Okay, what are you going to say? Is that not right? See, that's what you're going to be saying, and I don't want you to be saying that. Right? That was a cool song, was it not? Boop, 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 boop. But you know what? Here's the point. See, the point is, put your trust in God. Don't be praying in the morning, oh, I'm abiding in God. Well, God can't really fix it, but I'm going to do this. No, Paul's like, no, let me tell you what. It's through Christ, but let me tell you what. I've got faith in God. Remember Jesus Christ, speaks to the fig tree, says nobody's going to eat of you anymore. And then what he says this, have faith in God. Boy, that's an interesting point to tell people. But God wants us to hear that today. Have faith in God. Stop thinking that God can't do it. No, God can do it. God can do it. Have faith in God. Trust God. God's not a man that he can lie. Let God be true and every man a liar. Amen? Yeah, but my aunt says, my uncle says, you know what? So what? What does God say? See, exalt the Lord. Magnify him. You know what? Say no. With God, all things are possible. Listen, I know that's two things. But let me tell you what, it's not complicated. If we will simply, live through Christ, stop living by ourselves, and simply put our trust in God and start believing him, I'm telling you what, you will look back and you'll say, oh my goodness, I did things in 2017. I thought my marriage couldn't be restored. But I started praying every morning, God, help me to be a better husband. Help me to be a better wife. You know what? Yeah. Stop praying, God, change my wife. Oh no, why he won't do that? Here's why, because he doesn't violate his word. Here's what the Bible says, get the log out of your own eye before you get the speck out of you. So pray, you know what? And listen, and maybe your perspective is right on, maybe it's not right on. You know what, maybe your spouse is a different place than you are. So what? Remember what I taught you Sunday? Put others above yourself. Father, thank you, Father, for my spouse. Help me to be the person I need to be. Amen. Okay. Are you glad you came today?
Yeah.
Amen.